Have your Bibles tonight. Have your Bibles. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. I was leaning back there to my wife when old Grant started singing, "He'll Roll Me Over the Tide." I like that. I like it. And I leaned over to her. I said, "I'd like for them to sing two more songs, and I'd like to pick them out." And they sung both them songs. We heard Brother Allen say that Brother Dole preached on the cross. Boy, we need to get back to the cross. Amen.
Yes, sir.
We heard Sunday night, you heard mercy, God's mercy and God's grace. And,
yes.
And this morning, Brother Craig preached on the bridal garment, the wedding garment.
Yeah.
And tonight, I'm just going to do my... And hey, I'm an old country preacher.
All right.
I'm not very smart. But I'm going to preach to you tonight. It'll be worth it.
Hey, man.
It'll be worth it.
Hey, man.
It'll be worth it.
Yeah. It'll be worth it.
2 Corinthians 11. Would you stand with me? Read verse number 23. We're going to read a few verses. The Apostle Paul pins these things down. And we're going to kind of go through his life. Just hit the high spots of it. Through this sermon tonight, this message. He makes this statement. He said, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths off. Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I've spent in the deep. In journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the cares of all the churches. Now, if you looked at that this evening, you would find that there was things in a lot of Paul's life that was not very pleasant. And sometimes we think, Brother Craig, that we're having a bad day. But we'll find tonight with the Lord's help, by the end of this thing, Brother Derek, Paul would say, it was worth it. It was worth it. Let's pray tonight. Father, we love you. We're thankful tonight, God, to be in your house. We're thankful tonight to feel what we've already felt. God, we could shut the book, go home right now, and say it's been good to be in your house. But God, now just for the next few minutes of time, God, would you send the unction of the Holy Ghost? And God, would you rest upon me? I pray, God, tonight that our ears and our hearts would be open and we would be receptive and sensitive to your word and your spirit. I pray, God, that as Brother Allen has made mention, God, there's folks that's already come to this altar to pray. But God, at any time I pray that folks, if they feel the need, would come during the message. God, we know that you're in control tonight. And God, we want you to save the lost. We want you to stir the cold. We want you to meet the need. And God, we will honor you and praise you for it. In Jesus' wonderful, wonderful name. And everybody said, you may be seated tonight. Brother JC's my pastor. He's sitting here on the front row, and he's been with me when I started this thing, and he'll be with me until he's gone or I'm gone one. But I want you to understand there are times in my early ministry that I wanted to quit and I wanted to give up. I was young, Brother Dole, and I thought, man, if this is the way that's going to be, I don't want no part of it. And I truly believe tonight there's that feeling in the church world more than we really realize. There are some that are fixing to get out of the race, and they're wanting to throw in the towel, and they're wanting to give up. It bears record with Scripture tonight. The Word of God said that the Spirit it speaketh expressly that in the latter days some would depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. And right in this world, in the church world, Brother Allen, there being doctrines of devils that's even been brought into the church, that's been proclaimed behind the pulpit. But I want you to understand something tonight. I wanted to quit. There's been times I'd say, God, I thought everybody that told me they were a Christian. Christian was one. I found that not to really be true. And I'd fall in an altar. I've resigned, Brother Derek, 1,000 times. And then I'd fall in an altar. It would just be me and it would just be God. And we would start having a conversation. And by the time the conversation was through, God had changed my mind. He said, son, I want you to stay in the fight. I want you to stay in the race because you're not finished yet and it's going to be worth it. It's going to be worth it. And so tonight I've just come by to tell you, no matter how you feel tonight, it's going to be worth it in the end. Brother Craig, we go back in Saul's life. Let's go back before God changed his name to Paul. Let's look at him as Saul. He was a bad man. He was a wicked man. He sought to persecute the church and he killed Christians. And we find him over in the Acts chapter number 7, in the latter part of the chapter, we find him at the stoning of Stephen. And I thought tonight as old Grant began to sing that song, in my mind, this is the way it happened, Brother Jason. And I used my imagination tonight. They take old Stephen, he was a man of God. He was like a preaching deacon, if you will. They didn't want to hear what he had to say. And they took him out to the outskirts of town, and they were going to stone him to death. And Paul was in that crowd, or Saul was in that crowd. And as he walked out there, Grant, he was watching it all transpire. And there's old Stephen. He's full of God. He's a man of God. As they begin to stone him, all of a sudden, old Stephen, he looked up in the heavens. And when he did, he said, I see Jesus standing at the Father's right hand. And at that moment of time in my mind, old Saul looked up, but he didn't see a thing. He heard a voice of old Stephen begin to cry, I see Jesus standing at the Father's right hand, but he didn't see a man. But I want you to understand, I believe there was a feeling that come on him like he never felt in his life. And I believe he remembered it from that day forward. In a few chapters over, we will find he's on the road to Damascus. He's going down Damascus Road to persecute the church. And then all of a sudden, Brother Lonnie, there came a light out of heaven. There came a light out of heaven, and it struck him blind. And all you grab a hold of this tonight. I love this. When he come to himself, this is the first thing he said. He said, Lord, what will you have me to do? Amen. You know what I think tonight? I believe he remembered the feeling that it felt over just a few chapters over, and now he's feeling it again, and he knows who it is. I want to tell you something tonight. You can be the vilest sinner on your way to hell, but when the Lord passes by, you'll know who he is.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
You'll know who he is. You may not know me, and who cares whether or not you know me?
Come on, Pastor.
I was going to say this tonight before I started. If you don't like what's going on in this church house tonight, why'd you even come?
It's good stuff.
Lord of mercy. But listen to me tonight. He remembered the feeling that he felt in my mind a few chapters over. He said, Lord, what would you have me to do? And for the next 3 days of time, we all know the account of Scripture. God struck him blind. He couldn't see a lick. He could not see in the natural. But Brother Lonnie, I believe he could see better than he ever saw in his life. I believe God let him see every wicked thing that he ever done. Sometimes tonight, God's got to get us to a point in our life that we can see ourselves the way we need to see ourselves. And so, Brother Derek, for the next 3 days, he's blind and he can't see. And this is rolling through his mind. And I believe God's revealing himself to him in a great and mighty way. And about that time, Brother Allen, God speaks to a man named Ananias. He said, I'll tell you what, I got a man down there whose name is Saul, and I need you to get down there and pray for him. You need to go. He said, oh, God, no, I ain't going. I know that man, I ain't a going. I know what he done to the church down the way. I know how many Christians he killed, and I want to be as far away from him as I possibly can be. But the Lord spoke back to him and said, listen, buddy, I've showed him in a vision that you're going to come and you're going to lay your hands on him. And when you do, you're going to pray for him, and the scales are going to fall from his eyes, and he's going to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And this is what happens. Brother Allen, he walks in, he calls him Brother Saul. Let me tell you something, Brother Craig, back in that era of time, when a man called another man a brother, it wasn't just casual speaking. It was something that was heartfelt. It was something that was genuine. It was something that I call you, Brother Allen, because we know the same God. We're brothers in Christ. And when he walked in there, he called him Brother Saul. He said, the Lord has sent me down here. He already knew that, Brother Dole. And old Ananias walked over and he laid his hands on him. And when he began to pray, the power of God came down on old Saul. And the scales fell from his eyes. And oh, you know what happened right there? Old Saul got born again. He got born again. Hey, somebody ask you, hey, when do you think he got robbed, Brother Clark? Do you think it was on the road? No, I think when the scales fell from his eyes and he was filled with the Holy Ghost, that's when he got right.
That's right.
No man can say Jesus is Lord tonight but by the Holy Ghost. And at that moment of time, he became a brand new creature. Brother Craig, is what the Word of God said. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things become brand new. And now he began his life with the Lord. He started preaching, but nobody wanted anything to do with it. And nobody wanted anything to... They remembered what he used to be. Aren't you thankful tonight that when God done a work in your life, that you're not what you used to be? Oh, you may carry your reputation and you may carry your past, but thanks be to God, it has been put under Calvary's blood and you are clean. And when he makes you clean, you're clean indeed.
Amen.
Amen. But nobody wanted to do nothing with him. But a few chapters over, I got to hurry. A few chapters over. The Lord changes his name from Saul to Paul. And he started proclaiming the gospel. You got to understand tonight that he was a very educated man. But in one place tonight, Brother Derek, he said, I save not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. He even said this one time. He said, I've come to you not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but I want to come to you within demonstration and the power of God. I want you to understand he had a hold of something that got a hold of him. But everything now, do you realize tonight? I believe this, Brother Allen, the Word of God declares it. Whatsoever a man sows, that's what he's also going to reap. Oh, Saul had sown a lot of seed of destruction and discord, and you're going to have to reap what you sow. Listen to me tonight. You can't sow wild oats and then pray for crop failure and believe that it's not going to come. You're going to reap what you sow. And here he is. He was a persecutor of the church. He was a persecutor of the Christian. And now that he is a Christian, guess what? The persecution's coming to him. And we know tonight that he wrote a lot of the New Testament while he was in prison. There was one time, Brother Craig, he was in prison. It's over in about the book of Acts chapter 26. And Agrippa's going to bring him up to speak on his own behalf. And in my mind tonight, Agrippa's expecting him that Paul would tell him why, that he needs to be released from prison. And so he's waiting on it. He's got it already prepared. He brings old Paul up. He said, Paul, what you got to say to you for yourself? He said, Agrippa, I want to tell you one thing. I think myself happy. Amen. I think myself happy. Oh, God in the church, wouldn't it be great, Brother Derek, if we'd start thinking ourselves happy? Why in the world could we be happy? I can tell you why I'm happy tonight. I'm happy that I'm a child of God. Amen. I'm happy tonight that my name is recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. I'm recorded tonight I'm happy tonight because heaven's going to be my home. I'm happy tonight because the sinful nature of man, my sins were forgiven at an altar of prayer, and God transformed me and changed me by his power and by his washed me by his blood. Hey, tonight that makes me happy.
Come on.
Hey, some folks in the church that wouldn't get happy, they couldn't be happy. If they eat pinto beans and fried potatoes every day, they wouldn't be happy. They wouldn't be happy at all. What are you talking about? Hey, listen to me. Hey, it is good stuff. Listen. The menu at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Number one, fried chicken. Glory to God. Beans and taters is going to be on the table. Amen. But I want you to understand, we profess to be a Christian, but we're not happy.
Come on, man.
We're not happy. Hey, listen to me. Yeah, we have stinking thinking, man.
That's right.
You know, back when you got saved, when you first got saved,
sure.
When you first got born again, boy, everything looked good to you. You didn't know any better. You come to church because you wanted to come to church.
That's right.
You come to church because you love God.
Amen.
You did, hey. You wasn't concerned about whether or not you got to sing a song. It's good preaching tonight. You weren't concerned about whether or not somebody acknowledged you for picking up a gum wrapper in the parking lot. You weren't concerned about that. All you was concerned about is I was glad when they said, let us go to the house of the Lord. I've been brought out of darkness. I've been put in the marvelous light of God. I'm on my way to heaven, and I'm coming to church to glorify and worship my King.
Amen. Amen.
Hey.
Amen.
Hey.
Amen.
Hey.
Amen.
Let's get happy again. Can you
Amen.
Say amen? Let's get happy. But we find tonight now, Paul is in prison. Most of the time that he is in his Christian walk, he's in prison. Writes most of the scripture. And then it comes to 2 Corinthians 11. Now listen to this. In labors more abundant. In stripes above measure. In prisons, plural, more frequent. In deaths, with an S, oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. If I remember tonight correctly, Brother Lonnie, it would said to be that a man, if he got 40 stripes, he's a dead man. He's a dead man. So we know now that he was on the verge of death just with taking stripes 5 times. Thrice I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered a shipwreck. A night in the day I've been in the deep. In journeys often. In perils. You know what perils is? Perils means dangers. It means dangers. In dangers of water. In dangers of robbers. In dangers of my own countrymen. People that I know, I'm in danger around them. Let's pause right there. Do you realize there are folks that you're running with that you ought not to be running with because they will bring danger in your life? Hey, people might say, I know for a fact, I've got family, when they got right with God, they run with the wrong crowd before they got right with God, Brother Derek. And my little mama would say to them, don't run with them people. Don't run with them people. And my loved one would say, oh, I'm not like that anymore. I don't do that anymore. And my mama, she's pretty blunt tonight. And she would say, birds of a feather, they flock together. And you need to get rid of those folks. And you need to find somebody else to run with. Hey, there are folks tonight that you run with. If you keep running with them, you'll destroy yourself.
Amen.
But I love them. If you love them, you'll get away from them. And you'll live a life before them that they can see Jesus in you. I've known folks in the church to say, well, I'm going to go witness to these people. Listen to me. Don't you understand something? When God saves you, I believe this to be true. Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing and I will receive you. If you start going back, you'll be like the dog that goes back to the vomit. You'll be like the sow going back to the wallow. If God brings you out of darkness, love Him enough not to go back in. And if you want to be a witness to your friends that you love so much that you did things with, hey, I know, Brother Allen, when I got right with God, some of my buddies said, oh, it's just a fad. It won't last long. He'll be right back in here with us, and we'll be doing what we've always done. That was in September of 1998, and here we are on the 27th of February of 2017. I ain't went back. Amen. I ain't went back. And you know what's happened to my buddies? They finally come out of darkness. They're serving God. Hey, this may not be because of me, but my prayer is that I didn't go back to that mess. I wanted to live a life before them, but to let them know that I had a change on the inside of my life.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. That's good.
Stay away from people, because they will kill you in the end. In dangers of my own countrymen. Endangered by the heathen. We know the heathen don't love us. Endangered in the city. Endangered in the wilderness. Endangered in the sea. Endangered among false brethren. This guy's got some things going on. But in the end, he says it's worth it. It's worth it. It's worth it. Now let's get him over. He's going to die. Not really. He's just going to die once.
That's right. Come on, preach.
And you know what? One day we're going to do that.
That's right.
We're going to do it. My mother, several of you have asked about my mama. And my mama would love to have been here, but my mama's got great-grandmama duty. She loves that great-grandbaby. She kept him today. That's her day to keep him. But before my little daddy died, I thought, Brother Grant, as you sung that song, you guys sung Waving on the Other Side. And you sung that song, Glory Land. You've got friends in Glory Land. Man, man. Brother Derek, my little daddy, he'll be gone in June, Brother Allen, 7 years. And there's periods of time, and I know, please don't think bad of me, there are periods of time that I'm good with it. I'm good with it. But then, Brother Jason, there's times that I'm not good with
it. Right.
I'm just not good with it. And I've got a thing on my phone back when my daughter was young, back when Razor phones was in. That's old, isn't it? My little girl had a Razor phone at that time. And she's about, maybe, I don't know, 10 years old. You think, what in the world is a 10-year-old doing with a phone? If you got a daughter, they had a phone too. Just hold on, it's coming. But my daddy loved my daughter. Special. Special. From a very early age, Brother Jay, when she was big enough to walk, if he knew we was coming to see him, he'd slide a dollar in his pocket. Up here. And Ashley would walk in, toddler in, and daddy would say, come to Papaw. He'd go. Guess where she went? She went to Papaw. At a very early age, girls knows what money's in, okay? Hit me. Daddy always did that. Dad would let her do what he wouldn't let anyone else do. And he let her video him singing a silly song that he made up. His silliest thing I've ever seen. And I've got it on my phone now. And Brother Lonnie, it's a treasure.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Amen. Because, Lonnie, I never want to forget his voice.
Amen.
I don't want to forget his voice. I can see what he looks like, Brother Kenny. I've got pictures of him. Me and him arm in arm, I've got pictures of him. But I don't want to forget his voice. And every once in a while, Brother Derek, I'll kick that on. I think, well, that's the silliest thing. But I hear my daddy's voice. Daddy got real sick, Brother Jay. And like old Paul comes to the end of his life, Daddy was coming to the end of his, and we're going to come to the end of ours.
Right.
You understand that? Paul made the statement to Timothy. He said, Brother Craig, now I'm ready now to be offered.
Yep.
I'm ready. The time of my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight. I finished the course. And I've kept the faith.
Yep.
Henceforth is laid up for me a crown.
Yep.
That the Lord, the righteous judge, should give me at that time. And not to me only, but to all them also that love his appearance.
Yeah.
Daddy's fixing to step out into glory. Brother Allen, Mama sits down on his bed one day on hospice and come in with Dad. And just like old Paul told Timothy, I'm ready to be offered. Mama sat down on the bed and said, Jim, are you ready? Are you ready?
Come on.
And my little daddy, he said, you wouldn't believe how ready I am. You won't believe it. You won't believe how ready I am. It wasn't long before that, Brother Doyle. My daddy's not an emotional guy. He wasn't an emotional guy at all. Mama shouts, Daddy cries, and that's it. You'll never see him lift a hand. You'd never see it. Mama was washing dishes one afternoon, and Dad's in the other room, and they had the Gaither videos going. Mom's not paying Dad much mind. And they started singing a song, Going Home. There's nothing to hold me here. I've caught a glimpse of that heavenly land. Praise God, I'm going home. Old George Yount was singing that, Brother Craig. Mom's not paying a lick of attention. She hears it. But then all of a sudden she hears my little old dad.
Come on.
She looks over at him. He's rejoicing. He's got his hands thrown in the air. Because he's getting a glimpse of the heavenly land.
Yeah.
And he knows he's going home. So when mama said, Jim, are you ready? He said, oh, you won't believe how ready I am.
Amen.
This is what he said. He said, I'm wanting to see what the Lord has got for me. I want to see it. And then we got our own theology and stuff like that. And if you don't believe this, don't tell me because I do. And then he says, Brother Kenny, to her, he said, honey, I'll be waiting on you. I'll be waiting on you. Heard a song, Brother Jay, not long ago. The song, one of the lines in it, it said, I'll save you a place at the table.
Amen.
I believe Dad's got Mama place saved. I fought a good fight. I finished the course. I've kept the faith. There's a crown waiting on me. There's a crown waiting on you, Timothy. And all them also that love you. Superior. What I'm telling you, Timothy, it's worth everything that I've gone through.
Yes.
In one place he says, Brother Craig, these afflictions, they're just but light for a moment.
Yeah.
Because I didn't come to stay here.
That's right.
I came to pass. I came to pass. I want to ask you something tonight. Are you ready? All that matters, Brother Jason, at the end of this day,
you're right,
is that I'm ready.
Yeah.
You know, Brother Allen showed me mercy. He didn't have to let me get up here tonight because the Holy Ghost is doing a really good job. But I want you to understand something tonight. If you're here and you're not ready, you're in the right place. Because I've got enough confidence in Him to know that He's touched you.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
I can get... Who's singing tonight? It's worth it. It's worth it. Brother Kenny, it's worth it. There's times still I get discouraged. But I'm not like I used to be.
Come on.
I can get up and say, it's going to be worth it. It's going to be worth it. There are things that we don't even understand why they are the way they are. I close with this and I let them sing tonight. There's a young man that was raised in a community that wasn't a good part of town. Wasn't a good part of the town. He didn't have much of a home life. He didn't have much parents. But there was a lady in that community that kind of took him under her wing and taught him about the things of God, took him to church as a young boy. And the boy grows and he moves away from the little community there. And God just does a tremendous work in his life. Saves him, calls him to preach. He's pastoring a church. He starts reflecting back on his life. And he reflects back, Brother Jay, to a little lady that had an impact in his life like no other. So he decides one day, he said, I'm going to go back to the community. And I'm going to see if I can find that little lady.
Amen.
And I want to tell her, thank you for investing in me. So Brother Doyle, he goes back to the community. Things have changed a little. He's been gone a little while. He starts knocking doors and folks that used to live there don't live there anymore.
That's right.
But he finds one that does live where they used to live. They do still live there. And he asks about this precious little lady. And they told him, said, Clarence, listen. She's in a home. And she sometimes don't even know her children. And she probably, they wouldn't be no way she'd know you. He said, but I still got to go see her.
Come on, man.
So he goes down to the home and he walks in. And he talks to her, Brother Derek, just exactly like I'd be talking to you. And she looks a hole right through him. They like there was nobody there. That broke his heart. Because this lady, this little lady, had invested so much in him that he could not tell her, thank you and what God has done in me because of you. That broke his heart. And Brother Craig, he turns and he's leaving. And that old hymn of the church wells up in him. And he starts humming an old hymn. As he starts humming, that little lady starts singing. Trials dark on every hand. and I cannot understand. All the ways that God will lead us to that blessed promised land. But He'll guide us with His eyes, and I'll follow till I die. And I'll understand it better by and by. What she's saying, Brother Dole, hey, it's worth it.
Hey, man.
It's worth it.
It's worth it.
It's worth it. Let's bow our head just a moment.